The Sacred Spoils by Will Adams and read by Julie Maisie for Saga Egmont. For Hugh and Sarah. Cast down by his reverse and deliberating what to do, King Alaric was overtaken by an untimely death and departed from human cares. His people mourned for him with the utmost affection. Turning from its course, the river Bucentus, near the city of Consentia, they led a band of captives into the midst of its bed to dig out a place for his grave. In the depths of this pit, they buried Alaric, together with many treasures, then turned the waters back into their channel. And that none might ever know the place, they put to death all the diggers. Jordanes, The Origin and Deeds of the Goths. Prologue. Rome, the 24th of August, CE, 410. Quintus Rufius was half asleep when the horn sounded, so that he dreamed it a summons to a great banquet hall, whose tables groaned with food. But the only groaning was his comrades as they threw off blankets and wearily sat up. The horn died away. For a moment there was silence. Another false alarm, thank the gods. Rufius closed his eyes and tried to return to his banquet hall and the only food he'd likely see today. But then a man came running, screaming down the street outside, and suddenly there were horns blasting on every side, and he knew that it had happened. The barbarians were at their gates. The barracks door banged open, and Gaius Villius marched in, a flaming torch in his hand, to show the grimness of his expression. He marched along the aisle, kicking the feet of anyone still abed, yelling at them to suit up. Rufius's hands shook wildly as he pulled on chest padding and then his suit of rusting chain mail. He'd never fought in earnest before, just with wooden swords, and those had hurt enough to make him weep. The prospect of doing it for real was the stuff of nightmares, not just being wounded or even killed himself, but of having to do it to others, piercing their flesh with his long sword, their blood gushing and entrails spilling. He couldn't imagine hating anyone enough for that, not even Alaric and his murderous horde. Villius was still yelling at them. It made it impossible to think, let alone resist. Rufius strapped on his helmet, buckled on his sword, then grabbed his shield and ran out with the others. A few people were fleeing from the Salarian gate. Villius ignored them. He marched them to where the street narrowed, then had them form defensive lines across it. Rufius tried to shuffle to the back, but so did everyone else, and they proved better at it than he. So, to his consternation, he found himself at the front. God, but he needed a piss. Too late now. The street emptied as fugitives found houses to hide in. An eerie silence fell. The moon hung fat and low above the houses at its far end, and red, too. That particular watery red of a slit wrist in a public baths. Rufius felt a terrible foreboding, as when that fortune teller hadn't even met his eye. She'd known something, he was sure of it. She'd known this. What the hell was he even doing here? He was no soldier, he was a farmer. He should be in Sabina, helping his family with the harvest. His elder brother had cut off his thumb rather than be conscripted. But not he. He told them that his sister had to be revenged. But the shameful truth was that the thought of mutilation had given him nightmares. He suffered badly from nightmares, did Rufius. War cries, the pounding of feet. It was happening. It was happening right now. He couldn't believe how quickly they'd got inside the city. They must have been betrayed from within. It was the only explanation. His body stiffened and tingled. Everything grew slow and sharp and bright. Around the turn of the road, they charged, yelling and screaming and waving their long swords above their heads, others carrying flaming brands or spears already drawn back to hurl. And the size of them! He couldn't believe how fucking big they were. It was unfair, for they themselves were a ragtag group made up of those too old and too young for proper units, infirm and weak with hunger too.